Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. You strike me as a air guitar kind of kid.
I've played a couple air guitar solos in my life.
I'm more of an air drums kind of guy. You know, the steering wheel kind of thing going on. But
oh, I play the guitar on the steering wheel. You're like, meh.
Yeah. What does that look like?
Did I ever tell you guys I used to play drum set when I was in
school? No. I thought you played the clarinet or something.
Bro, come on. Don't try my gangster like that, man.
What are you talking about?
I know, but didn't he play clarinet?
Bro, why are you trying my gangster like this?
First of all, do you really trust the fact that he's playing multiple instruments? I don't.
I was a true percussionist. Hold on. All right.
Hold on. I'll let you speak. Just give me a second. You know what I can see Dylan as? Is the guy in the marching band that hits that does the cymbals?
No, dude. That's disrespectful.
Wait.
Now that's disrespectful.
Depending on which marching band.
You did, didn't you?
I played snare drum.
You played the triangle.
But I did in some in concert band, but that's another story. But one time I forgot my drum because I played snare drum, so I had to play the cymbals.
I
forgot my drum, so I had to play the cymbals.
So you think the clarinet was disrespectful?
When you're in the marching band, the one guy just hits it every like
it's
third.
What is that? It's like a toy where they're hitting.
But I'll have you know, when I was in jazz band too, I played the drum set and I loved it, but.
Was Tiffany the lead singer in the jazz band?
Yeah. That's only when I run on got the raspiness. Sleep and get the little raspiness in my voice.
But I'll have you know, Mike Johnson, that I was actually voted the best, I think it was like best
cymbal man in the land?
No, best percussionist overall by my band teachers my junior year because of my versatility. Thank you very much. So I could play everything. I could play bass drum, snare drum, triangle,
usually
man,
people
cymbals,
that play an instrument
bells.
Play more than one instrument.
Man, yeah, that's fine. Evidently, he did.
You're looking at him like I doubt it. Like I told you, I played three. Would you doubt that?
Yeah, I would. But I didn't play any. So,
so you were kind of like Whit Merrifield, Dylan. You could play third, second, short,
jack of all
out.
Trades,
utility man.
Yeah, jack of all trades in the band. Yeah.
What were your? What'd you play?
I played. Well, I just in percussion. I was a percussionist, so I played bass drum, snare drum. I could play the xylophone, marimba, cymbals, triangle, all of it. All
right. Mm. I was piano, saxophone, and violin.
Oh, you had some nice ones.
I never stuck with them.
You know? I was going to say, those sounds like lessons, not were you
well,
in
yeah,
band?
Well, yeah, but still, yeah. I wasn't.
No, I mean, I yeah.
I was in band. I was in band, second year.
You know what's funny is I was in it. I took band for 1 year in sixth grade, and I was like, yeah, I'll play the trumpet. And they're like, yeah, you're a drummer. You're not a trumpet player.
They didn't even. Oh wow.
I tried, and my teacher was like, yeah, I think you're tone deaf. You probably need to play the drums.
Can I honestly say that my parents probably saw me dance at a young age. Were like, no, that's not going to be his thing. Music. that's not going to be what this guy does.
Well, I only wanted to play the trumpet because I wanted my sister to play the drums. And I didn't want to play the drums like my sister. And they were like, nah, you're tone deaf.
No thanks.
You got to go over there.
Sorry, but I feel you on that one, brother.
Okay. All right. Back on track here. Falcons, Broncos. We did talk a little bit about Bo Nix and the offense, but the biggest concern would be, and you rattled off a lot of stats there, Bo, would be this Broncos defense who have done a complete 180 from where they were last season. I know I noted the points per game earlier. They were ranked 27th in allowing almost the most points per game. Last year, this year, they're ranked fourth on their defense. So, and beyond that, you got into the sacks too, right?
Yeah, they're whether and to your point, Tiff, with the to start with this points per game allowed, they're virtually top 10 in every
category.
Top five in every category. Honestly, that really major that matters, including fourth downs, which we've been really good at. But they have 35 sacks on the year, which is one under what New York has at 36, but makes them second in the NFL. But not just that. What really scares me, and we touched on it earlier, but what really scares me is their red area defense is phenomenal. And what have we done a lot of when we get in the red area is we make bad mistakes that put us behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
And I think you can't aid a team like this because they don't allow points already, and they're really good in the red area already. And if you get in the red area and, you know, have a, whether it was right or wrong, a clipping penalty, you're,
there's been a number of those, and then, just bad red area penalties this year for us.
And that's why the kicking game has been something that I've talked about. I'm not going to be a dead horse, but that's why I get worried with all those things.
Yeah,
it is a big concern. Coach Raheem Morris, he talked about, you know, you got to respect their defense.
I got so much respect, first of all, for Vance, Joseph, and what they've been able to do on defense. It's been fun to watch. But I got so much expectations for our offense and their ability to execute at a high level. I mean, Mooney to Bijan to Tyler Algier to Kyle Pitts to Drake London. We've all seen them do things at the highest level. And if we ever get them all going at the same time at a high level, Kirk Cousins back there, quarterback, and our O-line blocking the way they block at a high level, whether it be pass pro or run blocking, because they've shown both, right? We're going out and pass pro for 500-plus yards to be able to go out there and run it for almost two in two different games. So I got such a high level of confidence in us being able to go out there and find whatever we need to do that day, along with our coaches, and being able to orchestrate a game plan to go out there and to attack whatever weaknesses that they have on Denver and to find a way to get that thing to happen for us on Sundays and find ways to orchestrate wins no matter how it's going to happen. Like, we've done it, so I got a lot of confidence going out there and playing against other people.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, guys, is I've tried to lay off, and I want to ask y'all's opinion on this. I've tried to lay off this year using the term bad matchup, right? And I think in a lot of ways, probably people look at this and go, well, that's a bad matchup for the Falcons. I thought last week the Saints running game against the Falcons run defense was a bad matchup for the Falcons. And you look at the way that panned out, really Alvin Kamara in the running game was secondary, it felt like, last week. So, you know, it's all about game planning. It's all about personnel. It's all about kind of what you're focusing on and what you're paying attention to and really what you're able to get done and then executing that. Would you guys go down the road of maybe this is a bad matchup for the Falcons offense, I guess is my next question.
Well, you could say that mainly because of how good they are up front and how they can get after you. They're good at they take away everything. And the thing that, you know, I think good quarterbacks, whether they're statues or not. I don't like to get locked in the, well, he's a statue in the pocket, so because they can get after it. To me, it all starts with, you know, getting separation early and or recognizing what they're bringing you. And Kirk Cousins against a team that liked to blitz a lot in Tampa, only threw for like almost 900 yards in two games and what, like seven or eight touchdowns. So the thing for me is can they get pressure without blitzing?
So you're expressing concern there over Kirk Cousins' mobility in the pocket, or were you talking about the opposite with?
Well, it's if they're blitzing, then I think we're in a good place. I think Kirk can rip you apart. But Tiff, what worries me is when with a guy like Kirk that can't move, when you can generate a pass rush with your front four and not have to send guys, and I haven't watched enough Denver. I haven't watched Denver yet. We just haven't got a chance to do it, and I know we're going to do it today and tomorrow. But when you can generate pass rush without sending a blitz, you can really, really hurt a team like Atlanta with a quarterback like Kirk Cousins.
I know it's different, but Mahomes was able to find Patrick Kelce a lot when Denver was blitzing.
And they got to him four times.
And they were able to get to him still, yeah.
Yeah, and so for me, Patrick Mahomes is the ultimate. The reason he's an X factor for any team he plays
is he can move.
And he can move.
And be accurate.
And he has a guy that knows the chemistry to every move. And that's what worries me is if they can get home without blitzing, we could be in for a long day. Because that they can drop seven, right?
Right.
They can play this coverage that it's going to be hard for guys to get open, and Kirk's going to have to be precise.
Well, and I think, look, the Falcons had to play their game in that aspect. I think that if you're going to tell, you know, Kirk he's going to drop back in the pocket 40 times and it's just going to be a five-step drop and he's going to be uncorking it, that's – to me, that's not where the Falcons need to live. And they've fallen into that trap numerous times this year where Zach Robinson's kind of gotten comfortable because Kirk is so good at dissecting defenses. The problem is – and you saw it last week a few times. If anything kind of knocks him off of those reads – it seems like that's when teams kind of get home. If he can make the read immediately, dissect the defense, know where guys are coming from because he's so good at it, he can uncork the ball and he can make a good throw. The problem is that if, you know, a guy gets grabbed or a guy gets rerouted or, you know, something happens at the mesh point, you can get home on Kirk Cousins. So Zach Robinson has to stick to the game plan of we'll work some from under, we'll work some from pistol, we'll run our wide zone the way we have, but we'll also run play action and boot off of that and be able to hold some of these people, you know, kind of scare them out of the blitzes, if you will.
Well, I don't really feel like there's any defense or offense that doesn't have a weakness or a hole in it somewhere, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's kind of how that's just kind of the rule of thumb. Like there's no perfection. Since Raheem knows Vance, I mean, he knows Vance Joseph. The defensive coordinators have studied other defensive coordinators. I mean, that's kind of this how it is, how you get better. But he's also been on the offensive side. Is this one of those areas where Rock, and I'm sure he probably does it a lot, you could say this every week, but is this one of those areas where Rock kind of spends more time with Zach and says, Vance wants to do this, Vance likes this, because is this one of those moments where that really comes into play and he can help you find something to exploit?
I think it has to be, right? I think it has to be. Like, I think
see why it wouldn't happen.
And when we talk, when Raheem was hired and we talked about those scenarios, well, he's been on both sides of the ball. He can help on both sides of the ball. I would pay a lot of money to be a fly on the wall when Raheem walks into Zach Robinson's offenses and he's like, hey, did you see that corner cat? Did you see the down and distance? Did you see that? I bet he's thinking, you know, that they can get home on this because, you know, this other team has been willing to boot out right. And dude, it just like I would pay to hear those conversations because I think you're spot on. I think that there are things that Raheem can dissect on both sides of the ball that are really helpful and can help, a Jimmy Lake. And look, Raheem's also faced off with Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I mean, has he not? Like, he's talking about two head coaches that have faced off against one another. So he knows, you know, kind of what Sean Payton's trying to get done. And I think this is going to be a matchup of personnel. And look, we already mentioned, is it a bad matchup? I don't go that route anymore because, like I said, it's all about coaching and game plan. But, you know, Kareem Hunt was held to, you know, 30 rushing yards last week or whatever it is on 15 carries.
With all due respect, Kareem Hunt's not Bashaun.
Look, you don't need to all due respect me. I completely agree. My point is that propping the numbers up of Denver, or did it get to a point where they were just like, man, we can't get this done? Because yeah, I agree with you, but you know, Kareem Hunt's not Bijan, but Kansas City has a very good run blocking offensive line, and we've seen that firsthand what they're able to get accomplished with those guys in the middle with Trey Smith and company.
Yeah, agreed.
Some coaching changes, one of them affecting the team that the Falcons will play this weekend. We'll have an update on that, as well as who's on the outs in Chicago. We'll give you that latest NFL headlines when we come back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Smart. Lasting.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Celtics will put it in with White. White fires it down low to Brown. Brown turns, shoots, gets it partially blocked, and the game's over. And the Atlanta Hawks, shorthanded as they are, they've come into Boston, and they have stunned the Celtics. And they win the first game of the tournament, the Emirates Cup tournament. The Hawks have won. They stunned the Celtics, and their crowd Final, Hawks 117, Celtics 116. Can you believe it, folks?
Well, boom, you heard it there from Steve Holman. Of course, we are
No, Steve, we can't.
For the Atlanta Hawks as they beat the Celtics, the defending two-time NBA champs. Hawks find a way to get it done, even without their superstar who's missing because he's injured, dealing with the Achilles
tendonitis. Yeah.
And Trae Young. So, there's big win.
There's nothing better than a scorned Steve Holman call. And what I mean by that is, like, when he feels like, you know, when the Hawks are not given a chance and it's just like a write-off and everyone just is down on him and then the Hawks win, because Steve is us. He's one of us, right? He's been with that organization for years and years and years. And so when people take shots or, you know, slide him a little bit, he takes homage to it. And I'm with him. You know how I am.
Yeah.
I love a chip on my shoulder. I love to be petty.
I know you do. Yeah, it was just awesome last night watching Onyeka. Obviously a great night for him. Jalen Johnson, the triple-double. Dyson Daniels, to me, story of the night. He had a career high in points. Also doing a lot of the ball handling duties. You mentioned earlier Quinn Snyder kind of saying it's like having your top three quarterbacks out because really nobody to be able to handle the ball that, you know, would feel comfortable in that situation. But Dyson Daniels goes all the way back to his some of his previous stints where he's had to run point and do different things. I thought he played an incredible game last night. He's just so good defensively, so active, and that had a lot to do with it. The Hawks also, I don't want to get this stat right because I saw it last night, I think 20 more shooting possessions than the Boston Celtics. And when Boston shoots as well as they do, because let's be honest, they shoot lights out almost every time they take the floor, you have to be able to steal possessions, get offensive boards, be able to score in transition. And having 20 more shooting possessions is what led this team to victory. And so when Dyson Daniels is playing defense, Onyeka's crashing the boards and you're doing all those things, that's what can lead to an upset as a 16-point underdog. And it's exactly what you got last night.
Let's get the latest on the NFL. Well, this news dealing with the Denver Broncos, who the Falcons will take on this weekend, it's concerning news. Their assistant head coach, Mike Westhoff, has stepped down to deal with potential health issues. This according to NFL insider Tom Pelissero. He experienced some issues related to his vision last week and underwent MRI testing on Monday. And so after consulting with doctors and, of course, speaking with head coach Sean Payton, he made the decision to go to his home, which is in Florida. So he has 33 years of coaching experience in the NFL. He's in his second year being the assistant head coach for the Broncos. And he was with Sean Payton, by the way, from 2017 to 2018 with the Saints. So,
yeah. An incredible dude. I think he was part of some of those Don Shula staffs down in Miami for a long time. He's been around for forever in NFL circles. And look, your health is first and foremost. And anytime you have somebody that has to step away for that, you obviously respect that and the decision they have to make because you know it's not easy. When you've been a football lifer like that, it's never easy to step away from those locker rooms. And hopefully that Coach Westhoff can go out there and get that situated.
On to news up north with the Chicago Bears. They did make a change, as their head coach Matt Eberflus said. Change was going to come with that offense. They fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. And now Thomas Brown will take over play calling duties for the Bears. This is according to CBS Sports NFL insider Jonathan Jones.
Yeah. They've been really bad.
Really bad.
I don't like the move, I'm not going to lie. I like stability for young players and especially young quarterbacks. And whether it's bad or not, I think maybe you try to ride this out. It just had, unless Caleb Williams was like, this guy won't work with me, he's not doing what I want. Maybe that's what, you never know what's going on in the building, but it just, you don't want to see him go through what guys like Trevor Lawrence and what Bryce Young just went through. And that is seemingly not the same, obviously, because Urban Meyer was a debacle.
Yeah.
The Tepper Reich relationship was a debacle. But now you're.
There's probably Bear fans that would tell you Matt Eberflus has been a debacle.
Well,
so he has to own a little bit of that as well.
Shane Waldron looks like a debacle now. But I just don't like this instability for a young player because. Let's get to the Let's get to the reality of this. This is a desperation move by Eberflus.
I agree. Well, I think it's the entire organization. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what role did Waldron play in having Caleb Williams drafted and all the above? Because you've seen whispers that there's players unhappy with Caleb Williams, too. And I have to think it's probably DJ Moore or, you know, Keenan Allen or whoever else inside of that offense that are not getting the ball the way they're used to. And so, I don't know. It's frustrating, but I keep coming back to this. And I've said this before on the show, and I believe it even more now. The offensive coordinator or the offensive play caller is the most important. They might be the most important person in the locker room aside from the quarterback. Like that is such an important position, to your point about the development of a young quarterback. When you have a talent the way Caleb Williams is, not the defensive coordinators take a back seat or any other player on the team, but that coordinator and that quarterback have to be lockstep. And if the relationship's not there and you don't think it's getting any better, you're early in his career, I don't mind the move. I mean, I'm never in favor of firing coaches, but when you look at the way they've performed here recently, it seems like you have enough talent to be able to, you know, put more points on the board. And this is a league where if you're not coaching or playing up to that ability, then you're going to be you're going to have to move on eventually. So I don't mind it as much as some others, but it's unfortunate nonetheless.
I think it's more of a concern if you see what happens with this team next year. So if there's a change now, someone else stepping in, and then all of a sudden there's a new OC midway next year or anything like that, then it becomes a concern. But I don't have a problem with it being making the change right now this early, because he's just, I mean, you know, I know it's just one season, but he's just getting started. And it's still, his rookie year.
So. Yeah, and he might have a new head coach at the end of the year.
And,
too.
You know,
yeah,
so.
That'd be the next move.
So when it comes to the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, our owner, said on 105.3 The Fan that Dak Prescott will undergo surgery in New York today on the partial avulsion of his hamstring, or if we want to just make it simplified, tore his hamstring.
Well, an avulsion, but do you know the actual definition of an avulsion fracture? It's where the ligament rips a chip of the bone off.
That's what they're saying. Wow. He ripped off the bone.
Yeah, wow. So I had an avulsion fracture in this thumb playing in a three-piece suit football, also for Pester Vest. I know it. I know.
You clarified three-piece.
And actually, it was his finger. And it what happened was is when.
How'd you get the wrong finger?
Well, it was because I had this hand in there. Because that was. But anyways, when it happens, it is the tendon rips off. It just chips the bone as it goes.
So that's horrible. The positive
bullshit
in it is that Jones said that Dak's prognosis is wonderful. It just means we're not going to have him for the rest of the year, obviously.
Wonderful is such a strange word for Jerry Jones right there. Like when I saw wonderful, I was like, did he really say wonderful? Wonderful prognosis for the future?
Well,
sure. Yeah, the prognosis is good that he'll return and play good football.
You got to talk to Jerry. You know, he's like, well, you know. There's a wonderful prognosis for him in the future. And then you talked about glory holes and everything.
Strange choice of words.
He's an odd duck, man. He's an old school dude that maybe has lost his fastball a long time ago.
Maybe he has. I don't know. It's wonderful is a strange way to put it. But I guess if you're paying the guy $60 million a year, wonderful might be my choice of words, too, if the guy's making $60 million a year off me.
Well, I've got the Raiders at Dolphins this weekend, so I'll be in Miami. And I was paying attention to the Monday Night Football game, obviously, in which the Dolphins did win. And so I was going to at least point out, watching that game, I'm sure a lot of people might have had the same reaction when Tua did go in to make a tackle. He did go on to let everybody know he wasn't planning on using his head to try to make that tackle post-interception. But again, Dolphins now. Bouncing back, finding a way to win with their quarterback, and we'll see how it plays out this weekend. But I'll be meeting with them on Friday.
Yeah, tell Tua, so what's up, man? My favorite college football player of all time, Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah,
hopefully he can stay healthy.
I'm interested in how some of the guys, because is it James Lofton with you this?
No, I'm with Jay Feely, Ross Tucker,
Tom
McCarthy,
Ross Tucker, yeah.
So. I'm curious if Ross asked Tua kind of, you know, stuff about, you know, what came into the decision to come back. And Tua is...
Well, he sat down with Jeff Darlington. He did on Monday Night Football. It was his first long form.
I didn't get a chance to see that.
It was really informative. Basically said retiring never crossed his mind. Mm-hmm. He talked about it with his family, but was very adamant that he does not want to be known as the poster child or poster boy for concussions.
Yeah, that's tough. I am pulling for him.
Don't blame him for that.
I think everybody is, honestly.
So, I'm looking forward to that this weekend, and I'll be obviously keeping an eye on things with you guys back here. But I'll still be here tomorrow before, try to enjoy some beach time before meetings.
Well, you know, today's Wednesday, right?
I know. I think that's why I was speeding up. I didn't get my head because I was like, you know what? I can see some water.
There you go. Always
beautiful
good.
Beautiful sand. This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, last, and clean. What you got for
me? Wow! It's Which One Wednesday. You know what time it is. Tiff, you make sure you hold that trophy up loud and proud because
Why
I won it last week. Well, you know, listen, I don't want to pin mic'd up on you every single Wednesday, so it is what it is. We're going to get back to work, and Tiff against Bo. I'll give you one going to the break. How about this? Mike Tyson. Would you rather, if you were going back to the late 80s, would you rather go to a Mike Tyson fight or a Michael Jackson concert? That's Which One Wednesday. Coming up on the other side. Mic'd up on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Oh, and what a beautiful Which One Wednesday it is. You guys know the drill. I throw out the scenario or the decision to be made. Tiffany and Bo will, debate style, give us their answers on that decision to be made. And then Dylan will judge the debate and who was able to win. If you weren't here last week, I held the crown. I held Bo off as Tiffany hosted Which One Wednesday, held the fort down. I look for Tiffany to once again be able to do the same thing and stiff arm Bo back into oblivion on Which One Wednesday like I did last week.
You know you live in people's heads when their only goal is to beat you or talk about you.
Is that what it is? Well, there was only two people competing last week, so that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, well, you clearly made it your goal.
All righty, Bo.
Your goal. Y'all's goal is to beat me. It takes two of you.
Well, look, you were the defending champ, so hats off to you for that. You had, put together a series of victories, and I wanted to make sure that, I put
a
cap on that.
I should point out, it's not just two against one. Usually you have Dylan in your back pocket. So
That's
apparently
actually
I haven't had him in my back pocket lately.
That's actually a great point.
Dylan, well, are you going to take that?
Sorry, I am fair and just. Well, just to let you know, if you want there to be a little bit of, favoritism towards one person, I'll watch how you speak to me.
Just make it clear.
He also said his Venmo is open.
Clear.
Yeah, I do take
bribes. You want me to scan it? You want me to scan it?
Dylan?
A free TV from somebody or something. I don't know.
Well, hopefully it works this time. Just notice who's slandering you. What?
It's been noted.
Just keep
He's
it
always
real.
He always got to cap his, my joke with his joke. All right, well, so let's go. Bo was
Made
talking about the
upsizing.
You good? You done? All right. Bo was talking about the critter in his attic last night. Had to call somebody, get some repairs, get some things closed off. And then he mentioned that guy had just dealt with a snake issue at a different house. My question to you, if you were going to climb into your attic, which one would you rather find? Would it be a rat or would it be a snake? Which one would you rather find?
A snake.
Not which one is worse. Which one would you rather find? A rat or a snake? Tiff, we'll start with you.
A snake, hands down, a snake. They don't multiply as fast as rats do. So I would think that, for what? Why are you looking at me so bizarre? I'd rather have a snake up there. It's probably a one-time removal. If they've laid some eggs, you can get those out too. But I feel like rats are building. Rats are so intelligent. It's probably built a whole system. I think I told you guys about
you
that
about
Nat Geo
like that.
Thing that I looked at.
Don't you not talk down
that,
about snakes.
I'm not saying snakes are stupid. But rats actually have a whole communication system. They're quite fascinating. I feel like they could probably take over your home quite easily. Than a snake could.
I'm going to make this simple. First off, the last thing I want in my house is an animal with a forked tongue. All right?
Oh, dude.
Ugh. And let me tell you something. Rats don't get into bed with you. Rats don't crawl up your toilet while you're sitting there taking a number two and bite you in the butt.
That cereal you like to have, you're going to find a rat dropping in it.
Have it. You can have the cereal. I don't like snakes. If I find a snake in my house,
in the same zip code as
my house will either be one or two things. It will be on the market or it will be on fire. Okay? One or two things. Snakes are evil creatures.
No, they're not.
Evil. Rats.
No, they're not.
I can deal with rats. I can talk to them. I can get rid of them. I can have some. I can trap them. You ain't trapping no damn
rats
snake.
Rats are going to multiply.
No way. You don't think snakes don't?
They do, but I'm saying a rat, I think, is going to multiply
I'm gonna
more
tell you
rat
something.
I'm going to double check.
And if you find the right rat, you can teach it how to cook.
Okay. You actually can. They actually are.
You did not just do the ratatouille. No, you did not just hit us with a ratatouille. All right, you are on restriction for the rest of this Which One Wednesday.
He's watching Disney movies.
We got to move on. We got to move on. I can't get my kid to watch Ratatouille, speaking of which. All right, we got to move on. How about this one? Denzel comes out the other day. He's on his tour for promoting Gladiator 2, and he says that he will be a part of Black Panther 3. So which sequel with Denzel in it excites you more? Would it be Gladiator 2 or would it be Black Panther 3? Gladiator 2 opening up just over a week from now, I believe. All right?
What, wasn't this like the 20th or 25th anniversary of like Gladiator a few, not that long ago?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
It came out in the summer of 2000 because I remember seeing it. So this would be
the 20th. There you go. Yeah, we're getting close. Tiff, so we'll start with you.
Just based, don't come for me, but just based on the nostalgia, the history of Gladiator, it was like a staple. I can't tell you how many times I watched that back then. Even if it comes on TV right now, you're probably likely to watch it.
Yeah.
And I don't really quote a lot of movies, but I can probably name a couple like lines from that. So Gladiator, I feel like, is a classic. And to have Denzel Washington be a part of it.
Yeah.
And his acting skill, it's just, I think it will take it to another level.
He said he's being very selective these days.
He is, because he's going to retire soon.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. He deserves
it. But also, they wrote Ryan Coogler. They wrote him into Black Panther. As you know, he's going to retire, so he's going out. It's a tough decision, but I will go Gladiator.
But what do you think?
Well, as a huge, massive Denzel Washington fan and a Gladiator fan, the only thing that I have an issue with this new Gladiator movie is, so far, everything I've read and seen, it looks very much like the first Gladiator. Like, almost a carbon copy. Nothing would be cooler than seeing Denzel Washington playing like a bad guy in Black Panther, right? Because bad guy Denzel. That's the best Denzel, other than Man on Fire Denzel and Coach Boone from Remember the Titans Denzel. But bad guy Denzel is the best, so I want to see him in Black Panther.
All right, we got to move on. I asked it going to break.
I'm hoping.
If you could go back to 1987, 88, which one would you rather see? Do you want to see Mike Tyson in his prime in a boxing match or Michael Jackson on his world tour, maybe at like Wembley Stadium? Yeah, hit that thing, Dylan. Which one would you rather see? Go back to the late 80s, put yourself in those shoes. Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson. Which one, Tiff?
I guess I'm going to go to the vibes of a concert. And why would you not want to see the moonwalk up close, depending on what section you're in, you know? But I'd probably pull some strings and be in the front row.
That was a subtle drop right there. I like it.
You know, I'm just saying, I would probably rather the classics, the hits. I'm going to pick a concert over a fight, probably.
All right, Bo. Up to you, man.
Well, I've been to quite a few championship fights, but nothing would have been cooler than 1987 seeing the baddest man on the planet.
Tyson in his prime.
And the vibes. I'm going to tell you something. The stars that show up. You got Jack Nicholson sitting front row. Don King's hair is in the building. I mean, give me the baddest man on the planet. He comes out wearing the black towel with the, you can't see the socks and the boots. Give me that all day long. A championship fight, man. The atmosphere is unbelievable.
All right. Dylan says we got time for one more, and here's what we're going to do. Which guy is more important to the Falcons' success for the rest of the season? Is it Darnell Mooney, who has proved himself to be explosive at wide receiver? Or is it Grady Jarrett, your team's leading sack leader right now with 2.5?
I'm going to take this one, and I'm going to try to keep it short because I do want to get into my facts about snakes and rats that I just pulled up here. With Grady Jarrett, I know, yes, he leads the team with 2.5 sacks, but he is the heartbeat still of that defense, right? The heart and soul of that defense. And
that's,
if we're talking
point
about the defense, turning things around, getting some more sacks on the season, you got to have your leader with you. So I feel like he is extremely important to this defense.
I think that's fair. What do you think, Bo?
I think that's a phenomenal point. I'm not going to argue any of those because that's phenomenal. But I'm just going to go to bat for Darnell Mooney. He is the leading receiver as far as yards go. He is second in touchdown receptions on this team. This dude is a playmaker. He is the big play threat on
this
team. He is the big play threat. All right. And they don't win games without guys like Darnell Mooney. The defense lets us down at times. The kicking game has let us down at times. Darnell Mooney has only let us down once with a drop, and he made up for it later in the game. Darnell, man.
Can I make one point before we go? While Bo is cheering for Darnell Mooney in his house that is riddled with rats, because rats do. Female rats can give birth, I think, have up to 12 pups every 3 weeks.
I'm sorry. You say 12 every 3 weeks?
12 pups is what they're called.
So you're just going to average 4 kids a week.
3 weeks. For me and the snakes that I will be dealing with, well, a female snake may give birth once or twice a year.
Let me just
But how many snakes come out of that female?
Let me throw this out there. I'm just going to tell you, if I find a snake in my bed, I am literally immediately putting it on the market. Dylon, what say you?
Well, I'm going to say it was very close, and I was swayed one way before Tiffany gave those final facts, but the extra effort from Tiffany, it's got me feeling like Tiffany.
You can't come back.
It's a walk-off win in the bottom of the night.
That is illegal.
It's a walk-off win in the bottom of the night.
I get no rebuttal. And by the way, she didn't even tell you how many.
You did rebuttal.
She came back over the top. How many snakes does a female snake? How many babies does a female snake have? Because that could be an X factor. That's garbage, man. You can't come. I'm protesting. Get Day Day in here. Okay. I'm protesting.
I make the rules.
It can
I'm
range
the final
from.
Say the number. Say the number. Say the. Hold on. Say this.
What I am going to tell you is that. Hey,
say
when
it.
We come back.
No.
Here,
say the.
No. You can't do that.
That's not
you
fair.
You
gotta give the number, Tiff.
It can range from one or two to over 100.
Oh, my
baby
God.
Snakes at once. Baby snakes at once.
Well, as the final judge,
you can't take it back now.
It's
but man,
be a snake that's
we were had. We were had,
and I will find that out.
We
too.
Were had.
Yeah, Bo of actually might have been cheating. I'm sorry, Bo.
We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift. Wake up calls. Next calls 404-726-0929. We'll be back on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.